Hello, hello, Keisha Kelly here with Beauty Queen. Listen, I am so excited about episode 2. Your girl is starting a new segment today, The Lost Art of Femininity, and we are going to touch on relationships. I don't really get involved or talk a lot about pop culture and what's going on in the news media, the trendy media, okay, the Shade Room and all those other gossip blogs. But in this episode, I do want to talk about what's going on with Will and Jada. Not necessarily them, but more so I want to talk about August. I am going to delve into entanglement, predatory behaviors, and mental illness associated with relationships. I will be having a special guest on this podcast who I'm so excited about. Stay tuned. I want to get into some backgrounds and then we'll, you know, start the show. So what you got to do, go get you a beverage, get you a pen and paper, clear your headspace so that we can jump into this topic. Stay tuned. Don't go nowhere. I'll be right back. Hello, hello, beauty queens. I hope you took that break as an opportunity to get you a beverage, okay? Clear your mental psyche, get a pen and paper, whatever it is that you need to do to be able to receive what I'm getting ready to pour. Listen, pop culture, celebrity news, I really don't get into it. I pay attention, but I really don't get into it because I feel like there are people just like us. But in certain circumstances, some of the topics that happen in these celebrity lives are topics that are happening in our own personal lives. And we need to be able to understand how to deal with certain issues. So in this episode, I will be addressing the lost art of femininity. Let's talk about entanglements, predatory behaviors, and mental illness associated with relationships. Okay, so as many of you know, it's trending. August Alsina sat down with Angela Yee about a week ago to talk about his new album. And in the interview, he mentions his autoimmune disease, almost losing his life, the loss of several family members, from his sister to his grandmother, who he lost here recently, gaining custody of his nieces and nephews. I mean, he discussed so much concerning his life. And at the tender age of 27, this young man has dealt with a host of traumatic incidents. I was surprised during this interview to hear his strength and his determination and his vulnerability to even discuss some of the hard and harsh realities of his past. But most people skimmed over everything that he said, and there was some really powerful takeaways in this interview. And they went straight to, you know, the juiciness of it. And that was his confirmation of his relationship with Jada. Listen, what I heard and what I saw was a troubled and a broken young man. That's what I saw and that's what I heard. But mostly as it relates to Jada, he said out of his own mouth that that relationship butchered him. It almost killed him. He said that it broke him down, that it paralyzed him, and that it was the hardest thing that he thinks he's ever had to deal with in his life. And he's willing to open up about it and talk about it because he doesn't like the fact that his character has been assassinated. He doesn't like that he's lost friendships and he's lost relationships and he's lost money behind the fact that people don't know the truth. So he went in to discuss his need to nullify these particular rumors and tell his truth. And I respect the fact that he told his truth. And he believes that what he had with her was him giving his full self and him being in love. But I have a difference of opinion. I don't believe that you were truthfully loved by Jada. I feel like you were caught up in what she describes as an entanglement coupled with predatory behavior, and you're suffering from mental illness associated with what you believe to be a relationship. Now let's move on to the red table talk. Jada and Will sit down at the table and they begin to discuss and confirm that she had an entanglement. Let's just look at that word for a moment. It's a complicated or compromising relationship or situation in which she confirms that she did have with August. And Will says, hey, Jada, you know, let's call it what it is. Let's talk about what it is. And she does get a little bit defensive when he presses the issue. And her reasoning for this was she wanted to feel happy and good because it had been a long time since she felt good. And so she was able to pull this young man into her situation, which was already in disarray, and believe that she was sent to heal him. But what she did was break him, leave him in a place where he felt butchered, where he felt paralyzed, where he felt broken. I don't know any healing that I've ever witnessed or experienced that leaves you worse off than you were before you began the process. But I want to discuss some key elements of both of these interviews and both of the key takeaways, and how we as a people can begin to heal from toxic relationships, how we as a people can move forward from getting involved in entanglements and relationships and situationships that are not beneficial to us, how we can identify predatory behaviors and mental illness before we get in too deep with a person or a habit or a behavior that has the potential to send us over the edge. I'm so excited about my guest who's going to be joining. I want you to stay tuned because we're going to get into these different overt and inadvertent and even opportunistic behaviors. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Hello, hello, beauty queens. Thank you for sticking around, staying alert. I'm so excited about my special guest. I consider him a friend. We've known each other for over 3 years. His name is Joseph out of LA, Los Angeles, for those of you who don't know. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast, Joseph. So happy to have you.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for that great introduction. You know, you're my friend too.
I know. So I'm so excited about your level of wisdom and understanding that you will bring to today's topic, just to bring awareness and light to listeners. I really just want you to be yourself, share your input, your thoughts, in whatever manner you decide to do so. So basically, today's topic, I don't know if you have been paying attention to pop culture. And August Alsina did an interview which revealed or confirmed his relationship with Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah, I caught that.
So he, you know, did his little interview about a week ago. And Jada, I guess, did a rebuttal with Will yesterday. And I just kind of want to not really talk about them per se, but talk about what happens in our community. Because August really, really talked for over an hour about his brokenness his pain, his hurt, involving his whole life. He's had consecutive losses of family members. He has an autoimmune disease and illness, which kind of equates to mental illness, and sickness that he's dealt, you know, just over his life. So I don't really want to talk about them in general, but I want to talk about what happens in our community. A couple of points that he mentioned was in the Black community or people of color, we are told to be quiet. We're told to be silent, to kind of skim over incidents that bring oppression and suppression to our voices. In your personal life, have you ever dealt with being told to be quiet after dealing with abuse or loss or things that you knew weren't quite right in a family structure, even maybe on the job? Like, any personal experience with that?
Personal experience. Personally, I've gone through depression myself. I don't really openly talk about it too much, but like, people who've been around me or have known me, especially during that time, they knew what I was going through. I've gone to see therapists because of it, and when I did go see it, my dad was the one who actually told me that I shouldn't be going to see a therapist and trying to get through things. So yeah, I've been told to be quiet, because it is a stigma in our community, if anything is wrong with you mentally, to try and seek help, which I don't understand. And I'm not with, obviously, because I have seeked outside of the church, which is the normal thing for us to say, to go pray about it and talk to a pastor about it. But if we didn't need therapists, then why would we have them there for us to use?
Wow, that's powerful. You are so correct. I definitely have heard that stigma. Just go pray about it. Everything's going to be okay. Pretty much that sweep it under the rug. You know, therapists and counselors are taboo. We don't do that over here. God will take care of all your problems. Take it to the cross in prayer. So I feel you on that. I specifically want to kind of just get a little bit deeper with mental illness and depression as a Black male. You know, in today's society, you're made to look weak. You know, if you show any kind of emotion, they'll call you feminine. You know, they have different words of disrespect to talk about you if you ever mention that you have any kind of depression. Have you dealt with that at all?
No, I have a very strong support system around me, but I do think those words, like the stigmas, are being changed over, because so many people in Hollywood now are talking about mental awareness and mental health. You got somebody who's like very prominent, like Charlamagne Tha God, who has written a book based on getting help in your mental health. So I think the stigma is going away slowly but surely. It's just more so about finding that avenue and letting your voice be heard in a way that you can express yourself. It doesn't have to be a feminine thing for you to display your emotions. We all have them. Male, female, Black, white, we all have emotions, and you should be able to express them in a way that you aren't shunned or called names or anything of that nature.
Right. You shouldn't be made to feel humiliated because exactly. You want to express how you feel. We should be empathetic as a people, because we've all been through things in our life. We've all had some really high highs and some really low lows. And one thing that I like to always mention is, you better be careful what you laugh or talk about today, because it very well may be your tomorrow. And I just saw so much brokenness in August Alsina when he was doing his interview. And that was just one of the places that really stuck out to me, is he's not going to be quiet. He's going to speak out and he's going to tell his story, which that is his God-given right to tell his truth. I also just want to ask you, you know, in your state of depression, when you were dealing with mental illness or, you know, that area of your life, did you ever look to a person or sex or habits or anything for comfort to try to cure you?
I was very cognitive of where I was at. So I had stopped drinking, but I was smoking weed a lot. It definitely helped curb my depression. But, you know, when you're not high, you still feel the same way you felt before.
Right. Right. So using some kind of tool kind of, you know, to cure you is not necessarily the best approach. You know, seeking counseling or seeking therapists may be the best possible solution so that you can actually talk through these things.
Exactly.
Right.
And,
so,
and everybody doesn't need a therapist per se. You need people to talk to. You do need people around you who are going to build you up and not tear you down.
Right.
Sometimes you do need to seek outside help. I'm not saying that's for everybody. It worked for me, but I also had strong people around me who were not putting me down and were trying to uplift me at every opportunity.
Right. That speaks to that support system that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Now, I do just want to insert right there that you can't get advice and wisdom from everybody. You know, you got to be cautious about who you allow. You know, because you could be sharing, you know, really personal, intimate details about your life that you're struggling with. And the other person is listening, but they're just going to use that information against you later on. Yep. So definitely when you're choosing that support system, make sure you pray, kind of meditate on it. Make sure those are people who really have your best interest at heart. The reason why I brought that up is using a tool, a habit, or something as a cure or, you know, something to cover up what you're actually going through is based on Jada's interview. When she was sitting with Will, she said that she just wanted to feel happy. She just wanted to feel good because it had been so long since she felt good. And the first thought that I had was, sex is not a cure for a broken heart, and it's not the answer for a deranged mindset. I've used tools and things to try to help me get over depression or an issue that I may have been having. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of times it made it worse because I didn't really work through it mentally and emotionally. And so do you have any comments or thoughts on that?
I completely agree with you. Once I stopped smoking, that's when I had more clarity. I stopped smoking for, I don't know, 9 months or so, and my clarity started to get a lot better during that time, whereas I wasn't dependent on anything. My mind was clear. So trying to use things or people, for that matter, isn't going to cure anything. It's just going to curb it for a while. But you're in a war with your own mind, within your own mind. So you're never going to be able to escape that. You have to deal with what's going on. And until you deal with it, it's not going to go away.
Right, right. Totally agree. And one of the things that kind of stood out to me is that she said that she was trying to heal him, but she was broken herself. So we've talked about mental illness. I kind of want to jump into like toxic entanglements, as she called them, or toxic situations and relationships, and predatory behaviors. How to really, you know, be able to see this person may not be good for me based on certain behaviors that they may display up front. Have you ever been in maybe like a toxic or domestic type relationship?
A couple of them.
yeah, me too. So I know some of the triggers, some of the tools. What are some of the things that you have experienced, some of the characters, I guess, of a predator or someone who brings about toxic behaviors?
Manipulation. That's probably the number one thing that they excel at.
Yes. Yes.
They manipulate situations. They manipulate people. They just want to manipulate everything that's going on in their world, and you fall in line with that, sometimes unknowingly. And I feel like that was my case. It was more unknowingly. I feel like I'm a smart individual. I have intelligence, like, you know, so many people do. But you fall into a situation to where, like, you just don't understand, I guess, where you took the wrong turn or how this person was able to manipulate you. So, yeah, that's kind of been my number one, I think my number one thing, number one characteristic of a person who is toxic, they will try to manipulate situations.
Yes, definitely. Definitely have dealt with manipulation. Recently, I talked to, you know, someone that I call myself dating, and they claimed their parent was sick when they really weren't. You know, that is a form of manipulation. It can be overt or it can be inadvertent. But either way, it's always unhealthy. Some other characters that I have dealt with, characteristics that I've dealt with is, passive aggression. Oh, man. Criticism, gossiping about people that they call their friends. You know, have you ever been in a situation where, you know, you've heard more negative about a person and then you get around them, but this is your partner's friend and you like, you're confused because they've told you so much stuff about them.
Exactly.
Why are you like, why are you hanging around with them? So criticism and gossip about family members and people that they consider friends, just a whole lot of negativity. And another one is emotional blackmail. Yeah. Emotional blackmail. They don't, you know, hesitate to like pull on your emotions or guilt you or back you into a corner to comply with their request. Yep. To, you know, give them exactly what they want. And all of these can be traits of narcissism. Have you identified with a narcissistic person from your past?
Those same two people were very much so narcissistic in the way that they manipulated me. They manipulated situations around them. They thought that they were the end all be all. Like they were some type of god that people should worship them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna lie, I never worshiped because that's not who I am. But I would see people who did worship them to a degree, and it threw me off. And I think that that's why I was able to remove myself from the situation more. And I think it kind of became more of a challenge to them to see if they could manipulate me.
Wow.
Rather than just letting it go off.
Wow. You know, and being a good person, having a good heart, and wanting to see the best for others sometimes can put you in these types of environments and situations. And it doesn't mean that you don't know your worth. It doesn't mean that, you know, you shouldn't continue to be a good person and you shouldn't continue to live your life in a high place once you experience this type of behavior from a partner or another party or a husband or wife or whatever the relational value is. You still can go on and be a good person. I just want you to encourage the people, if you will, for a second, on how to get out of a situation where you're dealing with, you know, a toxic person or predatory behaviors.
You have to cut off communications. That's what I find to be the easiest. Don't allow them to be able to freely text you when they feel like they want to text you and you have texted them and they don't answer. Like, that's all part of their manipulation in their game. Don't allow them to freely be able to come and go as they please, because that's another form of them controlling you. You just have to cut it all off. I know sometimes it's hard. You don't want to miss them on social media or just, I don't know, casual conversation. But when you realize a situation isn't for you or a person is a certain type of way, you have to do what's best for your own mental health and your own sanity, and move and remove yourself from those individuals.
Right. And sometimes that means changing your whole phone number, changing your name on social media, making sure you keep that block game on tight, even from some of their friends or fake profiles, because I've seen and heard it all in all my years, you know, that people will create a whole nother persona on the internet just to follow you so they can see what you've been doing. And that open, don't leave any door open. When you make a conscious effort and decision to leave that type of behavior, you have to make that decision and stand by it and share it with friends, share it with family so that they can hold you accountable. Yeah, so that they can hold you accountable. Just to touch on one last thing is, August said in his interview that leaving this relationship with Jada butchered him. He said it almost killed him. He said it broke him down, it paralyzed him, and it was the hardest thing in his life that he ever had to deal with, but he still considered it to be love. And when I couple that with Jada's comments about her job was to heal him, I've never known a healing to hurt the way that August explained that it hurt. Why do you think that he felt those things after it was over? Do you believe that it was a facade, or it was maybe only real to him and not the other person? Like, how can we end up feeling so empty when the other person said that their motive and their intent was to love and heal the other party?
I think I can only go off of how I think about it, and I think that maybe he was more invested than she was, and he probably realized that at some point. I mean, at the end of the day, she was still married. You can call it what you want, but she was still married. So maybe she was never going to be as invested as he was, and maybe he was truly in love with her. So I can see how it can break you down having to leave somebody who you truly love. Maybe that's what he felt, that she never was on the same wavelength
right.
as him.
It has to be devastating.
And that's what broke him.
It has to be devastating to invest your time. He said he invested his all into this relationship to watch that person repair or go back to their normal life. You know, it takes recovery time for that. So my advice, and you can agree or give any extra pointers as we're coming up to the 20-minute mark, is that get involved with people who have as much to lose as you do.
I completely agree. I've given this advice to people. I've seen people who are married have affairs with single people. And I've been like, you do know that they can blow up your whole life. You've given them the ammunition to be able to blow up your whole life because you have someone to go home to. Mm-hmm. They don't.
Yep.
You have someone to answer to. They don't. So I completely agree with what you
said. Wow. This has been so powerful. I am so enlightened. I appreciate your light, your positivity. You experiencing, you know, depression and, you know, even being in toxic relationships or entanglements, as Jada calls them, okay? And predatory behaviors. You experiencing that and just coming to share this platform with me and share your story is a tremendous blessing. I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you will come back. I think that we're going to have some more topics. Definitely. I know that this one was a little bit heavy. We'll probably lighten up and have a little bit more laughter. But is there anything you would like to say or leave with the listeners?
I just want to say thank you for having me on. I think what people should take away from this is, you know, positivity yields positivity. That's why I said I had a strong support system, because they were always very positive. They knew I was going through a lot of tough stuff, but they never put me down. So don't stay around people. Don't get me wrong. Like, we all crack jokes and stuff, and that is all fun. We're always going to crack jokes with our friends and have a good time. And you can even laugh at stuff that has happened in the past. But when you're going through something that's really deep, the people who are putting you down or don't take it as serious as you are the people who you need to be able to release, at least from that situation. Sometimes you can come back to them, and there are times where you can't. And I realized that myself going through a depression.
Wow. Wow. I think that that is excellent advice. I really do. And I hope that the listeners really, really, I hope y'all got y'all pen and paper and y'all wrote that down. Okay. If not, just rewind and listen to it again. But be cautious of who you have in your circle and who you, when you're really in a hard space mentally, you're in a hard space emotionally, just be sure that the people that are around you are of positive influence. Because, you know, the power of life and death is in the tongue. And what's being spoken to your subconscious and what's being spoke by the people who carry the energy around you, you know, will determine your tomorrow. You know, so thank you so much, Joseph. I always say that if anybody knows the most about me, it's probably Joseph. And that is the truth, okay? Like, he knows some stuff that my family don't even know, okay? Anyway, thank you so much for joining. I hope you will come back again. All right, beauty queen, stay tuned. I have one more guest that I am going to bring to the platform. Y'all don't want to miss this because this is all the smoke and the fire and the flames. Thank you again, Joseph. Stay right there. Stay tuned. Hello, hello, beauty queens. Listen, y'all are riding, y'all are rocking, y'all are still here with me, and I'm so appreciative of you just sticking around. I told you that I had a special guest, the final guest of this show, and I'm so elated and just humbled at the fact that he would even accept my invitation. Just a little bit of overview, a little summary. The guest was committed to me in marriage at one point. He is the father of my children, so like my baby daddy or whatever, you know. And so my special guest and my final guest is none other than Ellis. Welcome and thank you so much for taking this opportunity to do this podcast with me, Ellis.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So happy to have you. So I don't know if you pay attention to pop culture or if you've even been watching what's going on with Will, Jada, and Mr. August Alsina. But I decided to take an opportunity to do a podcast about entanglements, toxic entanglements, predatory behaviors, and the mental illness that you can develop associated with these relationships. The reason why I invited you to the podcast is because you probably know me well enough to know that I am, or I try to be transparent. I haven't always been open with my story, but because my desire in this season is to help other people, I went ahead and ousted myself and said that I had an entanglement entanglement situation, okay? And I said that on Facebook openly without too much detail, because when I was going through my entanglement, it was not for public or social consumption, probably because I thought I was doing it without the light shining on me. But we know that God is forever watching and he's ever present in everything that we do. However, I invited you because when I listened to August Alsina in his interview, what I heard from him was a very broken man who had suffered consecutive losses from his mother to his grandmother to his sister. A lot of family he had to take on, his niece and nephew after his sister passed away. He also had health issues and an autoimmune disease that's attacking his body every day. So he was in a very vulnerable space.
And I could really identify with what he was saying based on your life story, based on the things that you have endured. So I invited you to this for pretty much your insight on what it's like to recover, you know, from brokenness. What is it like to recover? One of August Alsina's comments was that when he left this situation with Jada, it left him broken. It left him traumatized and paralyzed. He said it almost killed him, and it pushed him, you know, to be a newer self. And it's the hardest thing that he's ever dealt with in life. So I just kind of wanted to get your input, and if you could kind of help listeners develop some kind of sense of, I guess, understanding on what it's like to be a Black male, you know, who feels like they've lost everything.
Wow. Interesting. Just to let y'all know, she didn't prepare me, but... it's a lot, man, because you got a lot going as a Black man. You already got a lot on your plate, just trying to be first of all trying to be a Black man. I mean, a lot of people don't know what that entails, but that entails a lot, just trying to be a Black man, because the Black man is it's like it's like a deer, man. We're hunted. So it's kind of hard being a Black man, period. So trying to be a strong Black man for everybody, you know, it takes on a lot. And sometimes people get put on the side. Some things get put on the side. And most of the time it's you that you put on the side for others. Not knowing that putting you on the side for others is not helping others. So my thing was, I've always been to put people first, put others first. If my family is happy, then I'm happy. If everybody happy, I'm happy. And one of the things was, God, just keep my family, you know, my mom, my dad, everybody, if I do your will, right? And the moment I said, I will, I lost my father. Then 2 years later, I lost my mom. You know what I'm saying? And the only thing I had left was my household family, you know what I'm saying, at that time. And I was like, God, just hold it together. Cause I don't have nothing else, you know. I don't have nothing else. Like, I don't have nothing else. This is it for me, you know. I can't call my mom and say, Mom, how you doing? I can't call my dad and say, Dad, what do I do now? I don't have nothing. So God, I'm leaning on you to help me help you keep this together. And eventually I couldn't, it was out of my control. There's nothing else I could do to keep the family I had in my household together. So at that point, you don't have nothing. As a Black man, you know, all you have is you. Like, and now at this point, you feel like a total failure. Mm. You done lost your mom, you done lost your dad, the people that gave you all your advice, the people that held you together, the people that you could lean on, whenever you had a question, the people that wouldn't truly judge you. So you could ask anything and they wouldn't judge you. You know what I'm saying? So now I done lost the one thing that I love the most is the people in my house. So now I'm out here by myself trying to figure out how I'm gonna pick up the pieces. Yeah. And in the midst of trying to pick up the pieces, I make bad decisions. I make bad choices that put me in positions that I wasn't too happy with, but that was the choices I made because I was feeling alone in this world, you know? And being a broken Black man, feeling alone, nowhere to go, don't know how you gonna make it from day to day, feeling like don't nobody love you, feeling like there's nothing you can do right, feeling like everybody is against you, feeling like the things that you want to control and you want to keep and you want to hold on to, feeling like there's nothing you can do about it, feeling like God didn't let you down, you know what I'm saying? Man, that's the worst place to be, man. Like, I hit rock bottom. My bank account didn't say rock bottom. The way I look may not have said rock bottom, but emotionally, inside, as a man, I was empty. I had nothing left. I had nothing left. I couldn't pour into nobody because I had nothing to pour into them no more. I didn't want nobody to pour in me because I wasn't trying to hear it, because God, I felt God had filled me. If God can't pour into me, who else, you know what I'm saying, can pour into me? And all these people around me that said that they loved me, where are you now?
Wow. So I hear you saying that you, as a black male, felt like you had to sacrifice yourself for others. You had to sacrifice yourself for the happiness, for, you know, the provision, for the, you know, contentment of other people. And then when it was all said and done, you felt like you were empty and alone, because when you looked around, none of those people were there. And I'm included in that. And I'll never try to act like I'm not a part of what you feel like God failed. It was not him. It was the actions of the parties involved. It wasn't him. And a lot of what you're saying makes me believe that August was probably in the same situation that you found yourself in. He found himself taking those consecutive hits and losses and found himself in a very vulnerable place. And then he connected himself to a woman of prestige like Jada, and he fell in love with her. He said that he gave his all to this relationship, and it ended up hurting him. And if you listen to her interview, she says that she felt like she was the person that was sent to heal him. But I've never known a healing that hurts. I've never known a healing or a person that comes into your life that's supposed to be helping you that ends up making you make statements that say that you felt like you were butchered, and you felt like, you know, you were killed in this situation. Something else that I just want to, I guess, talk about really quick is for those people who are considering marriage. Someone commented on my status when I said that I had found myself in an entanglement situation like Jada. He said that, and I quote, "Not trying to downplay your thoughts, but I find it bewildering that folks who claim to follow the Bible bend the rules to suit their particular needs. If you are married, you took the vows. So if I'm mistaken, if you are married and you seek refuge outside of your marriage, you still are the textbook definition of an adulterer. If it doesn't work out, then you don't leave the door unlocked just in case. You're either in or you're out, because the children are the ones who will suffer the most and who will teach them." And my response to him was definitely that I agree with the definition of an adulterer, and we don't bend anything over here. The word is clear and sure. I personally know several marriages where infidelity became an issue. Seeking refuge outside the marriage isn't always the narrative. There are spirits that drive others to come put asunder a union that God joined together. Some people aren't equipped or wise enough to see the trap and snare. That's not an excuse to break the covenant, but all situations aren't cut and dry. And I'll just leave it there. If y'all want to read that, y'all can go see the status itself. But when you go into covenant and you take these vows, how important do you think it is for both parties to really understand exactly what they're agreeing to?
So what is the importance of marriage counseling and making sure that you are both on the same page before taking that huge commitment to marry?
You know, when it comes to that type of stuff, to me, it varies in all situations. Marriage counseling can be good if it's done by the right people, and it has to be people that has been through something, that knows what the ups and downs of a relationship is about. I honestly think if you take marriage counseling from a family, from a couple that says it's always been good in their relationship, then you're not gonna know what you're preparing yourself for. Now, I understand that sometimes bad decisions are made in a marriage, and adultery happens, and other things happen. But there's another piece to that story that I succumb to on the other hand. But even though something happens and the devil get a hold to your spouse, or your spouse is making bad decisions, do you just walk away? Even if they walk away from you, do you just walk away? Or do you turn to God and say, God, I know the vow I made, and until they are released from whatever they're going through, I'm going to stand on my vow, and I'm going to be there for my spouse. Now, and the reason I say that is because I seen a show yesterday, because I like to watch documentaries, and this man was cheating on his wife in his career, and his wife stood fast for their relationship, she said, because she knew the love she had for her husband and the love he had for her, and she knew God would never fail.
Mm. Wow.
And today, to this day, they have one of the strongest relationships. They love each other dearly, and she kept their family together, not mm-hmm. him, but it was her and her trust in God and knowing that God would never fail her that kept her family together.
Wow.
So it's two pieces in that, and you know, both parties got to be ready for the good and the bad.
Wow. You know? I always, you know, want to make sure that what I'm doing is edifying or is promoting healing and growth for someone. This is just a little bit of insight of our personal journey together and then individually, without giving you all the details, because that's none of your business. I think that we got that covered and figuring that out personally. With the two parties. But I do want to suggest to those of you who are married, maybe having marital issues, or if you're, you know, considering marriage, that marriage is a three-strand cord. It's between the husband, wife, and our Father in heaven. And when you invite other people into that scenario, that's when things become complex and complicated. You don't have any business seeking outside of your home, not from your mama, your coworker, advice from anyone, because they will, you know, sway your opinions with certain situations that are happening in your household. And so, Ellis, if you could, would you give some advice or give some kind of insight on maybe, you know, how to help men if they're struggling or if they feel like they're failing in their marriage?
Well, I don't know how much advice I can give. All I can tell you is, like she said, man, there's three stories. There's his story, there's her story, and there's the truth. And the only way you can get to the truth is through God, because God is the truth. So even though you take his story, you take her story, you put it together, you both got to be willing to seek God. Now, in this relationship, there's a two people union that is made, and there's a covenant that's taken before God, and the ring is supposed to be the ring that holds you guys together. I don't know how much advice I can give you, but
I can tell. Prayed up. I can tell you don't feel good. we might
stay prayed up, man. Stay prayed up. Keep God first. Know that He is who He is. And if He told you that's the person for you, then through hell and high water, man, stay there. Stay there. I know it sounds crazy for me to say something like that because I didn't. I'm not gonna lie. The moment it left, I left. But if I could have did it all over again, I would have did it differently. And that's just the truth to the matter.
Well, Alice, I appreciate you giving your insight on this topic. I didn't want to go too long, definitely, because I had another guest on here. And so, you know, life is hard. We don't always understand the journey that we're on, but I do believe that God will always get the absolute glory out of our life. Some people may think that I'm absolutely crazy for inviting my ex-husband. Or what did I call you? I forgot what I called you on my video that I posted. My ex-bae, whatever, onto a podcast. But I want you to understand transparency in your own life, sweeping around your own front door. Realizing that, you know, your story and what you've endured and what you've encountered play a part in those who are connected to you. And you have to heal. You have to get you together. Find yourself first before you try to find love. Make sure you know who you are. Make sure that you aren't going to hurt people, that you aren't toxic, that you don't have predatory behaviors that you may have picked up in past relationships, that you are not toxic before you go into covenant with someone, because these types of behaviors can breed mental illness in your partner. And so, Ellis, just again, I want to thank you for taking the opportunity. I'm humbled that you said yes to do this. Did you want to leave any words with my listeners?
Yeah, I do want to leave something. One thing we always, when you get into a relationship, you always look at how you feel and how that other person feel and your happiness or their happiness. But you always got to remember, man, there's a lot of people involved that gets hurt in a bad relationship, because you got a whole family behind you and that other person got a whole family behind them. And not only, and in a real relationship, all these people are invested in both of you guys. So when you break up a whole huge family, a whole huge amount of people that don't know what to do now, you know? Do I still love them? Do I don't love them? You know, it's like it's a really large involvement when you go to that altar and say I do. You bring together two families as one, not only two people but two families as one. When you guys break up, now everybody has to adjust. You know, now the awkward seas come in when that other person comes around. You don't know, should you still love them? Not. You don't know nothing. So just always remember that it's just not just you guys. It's a lot of people standing behind you that's going to fall like dominoes.
Wow. That's powerful and very well needed. I think that that's great insight. That's wisdom, that you are affecting the lives of others. You are, you know, your decisions and what you decide do, you know, have the ability to confuse, you know, other people who are involved, especially children who have learned to love, you know, your family. And yeah, so I appreciate that insight. Thank you again so much for accepting this invitation. If I have other topics, I hope that you would consider to come back again and maybe share so that we can promote healthy dialogue and help others who, you know, may be struggling. You know, we may not be the most qualified, but we do have a story and we definitely have a testimony. And so I thank you so much. And stay tuned, ladies. One last segment. And I appreciate you. Thanks, Ellis.
All right. Take care.
Hey, beauty queens, listen, thank you so much for staying this entire broadcast and listening. I hope something that was said, something that was mentioned, maybe helped you in your walk, in your growth, and in your development. I want to send a special thanks to Joseph out of LA. Shout out. Cali, what up? Okay, what up, though? Okay, or that's Detroit. Anyway, and I just want to say thank you to Ellis out of H-Town, Houston, Homestead, Texas, baby, for joining the podcast today. You guys were amazing, and I believe that something you said, something that you mentioned from your experience, from your past, from your truth, is going to be a blessing to others. So thank you. I appreciate everything, all contributions. If any of you want to connect with us, you can go to www.beautyqueen.com. It's spelled just like this podcast, BEYOUTYQUEEN.com. If you have any topics, any questions, any letters that you want to send in, you can send them in at info@beautyqueen.com. I thank you all for listening. And remember, no one can duplicate an authentic you. Blessings. Hello, hello, Keisha Kelly here with Beauty Queen. I am so excited to have you. If this is your first time listening, hey, Queen, hey. And if this is your fourth, fifth, whatever time coming back to kick it with me, what's up, Queen? What's going on? Listen, I'm excited about today's episode of The Lost Art of Femininity, but I'm also a little bit nervous. It's going to be kind of hard. So today we are tackling busting the head of Jezzy Poo and the Hell Nah in your life. Those are two nicknames that I've given Jezebel and Delilah in the Bible. As we dig into this topic, you'll learn more about their character and characteristics as we move forward. Okay, but if you know, or if you, this is your first time here, we're gonna take a little break, give you some time to go get a beverage. Okay, give you some time to get a pen and paper and take some time to just clear your psyche so you can get ready to receive this tea that I'm about to pour. I'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.